The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things Sox, Pats, B's and C's. Right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
And it is Mustard and Johnson. Welcome in to our usual Saturday thing. Little bit of a quickie today, relatively speaking, after a few three-hour tours. It's a two-hour program today. We'll be making way for James, and who knows, maybe we'll even get lucky, maybe a little Dickerson action as well at 11 o'clock. And, of course, Patriot fans still smarting after that unbelievable, incredible, hard-to-believe. I'm still trying to figure out what happened on Sunday afternoon in Miami, looking ahead to Pittsburgh. I guess we'll start with Sunday, Larry. Where were you the moment that the Miami miracle occurred, somewhere around 4:03 on Sunday afternoon?
Sitting on my couch waiting for the second game, because I just, this was a wrap. This was a wrap.
Yeah, they kicked the field goal deep into Dolphin territory, and you figure a five-point lead with 7 seconds to go. We have seen Cal Berkeley and Stanford in 82 and a few other miracles on the gridiron over the years. But no one expected the Miami Dolphins to pull it off, especially against a Patriots team that certainly knows better.
Here's my question, though. I mean, because if you listen to the Miami play-by-play, Greasy was up there and he's saying, what is Gronk doing out on the field? I mean, it was so stupid and so obvious.
Greasy knew it right away, and I think a lot of people have heard it on this radio station. I immediately went to YouTube after the game to see if the calls were there, and there was a montage together with the local Patriot call, the CBS call, and usually the Miami game, I don't know if you've heard the Miami calls over the years, they kind of interrupt the Jim Mandich and Greasy, interrupt the play-by-play guy, but in that particular case, they were right on target.
They were right on target. Here's my question, though. Why does Belichick wear a headphone? Like, who are you communicating with? You mean to tell me somebody up in the box could not say to him, what do we got Gronk out there for? Nobody questioned that?
It would seem pretty obvious. And again, I confess, since I didn't believe the play could possibly be done, so I wasn't sitting there. My son and I were watching the game. We also comfortably ensconced in our couch in the den, thinking the game was over. Meanwhile, Kansas City was losing to Baltimore at just about that time. So you figure the Patriots are now ascending to the top spot in the AFC. They're going to beat Miami after all those troubles down there. Kansas City's going to lose to Baltimore. And the Patriots finally will reclaim the top spot in the AFC. And just everything goes wrong. Patriots lose in completely ludicrous fashion.
The only reason you would
and
have
somehow
Gronk,
Kansas City comes back
and you would have Gronk out there was to knock the ball down at the goal line, but Tannehill was not going to be able to throw the ball to the goal line.
Yeah, so, the ball on the 31-yard line.
So we know that. I feel bad for Gronk. They put him in a horrible position. He looked like the scarecrow out there trying to get to the sidelines to make the tackle.
And
it
I missed this.
Terrible.
Do you recall Gronk ever making a tackle, perhaps on an interception? I don't remember him in any special team scenario.
My first response was, where the hell is McCourty?
Wasn't on the field.
You ask, where's Butler last year? And you say, where's McCourty? Why don't the fastest guy on the team, a certainly worthy tackler, why would you not have him out there? That was ridiculous.
Right. Did he really believe, Belichick that is, that Tannehill could throw the ball 69 yards into the end zone in any kind of accurate fashion? And now, I understand the theory if the ball is somewhere around midfield, but at the 31-yard line makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So by the time, and Dan Fouts on CBS did identify Gronk as being out there, but didn't say, oh, this is a mistake. Oh, I don't think they know what they're doing here. He just said, look who's out playing the safety position. It's Gronk. But by the time Drake got down to the right sideline, within the 20-yard line, and you saw Gronk, you were prepared for that. Oh, yeah, that's right. They did say that Gronk was out there. And then I looked around and said, where's McCourty? Where are all the other tacklers? Where's Stephon Gilmore? Where are all these people that's supposed
guys?
To prevent that?
Where's your speed? There's nobody. Yeah. It was absolutely ludicrous. By the way, Why can't the Patriots get running backs who can run with the strength and speed of Brandon Bolden?
Where could they possibly find a guy like that?
I don't know.
You know, can I invoke my inner Bob Lobel?
They got nobody running the ball like that.
Yeah, and
nobody.
And Bolden has had a lackluster tenure with Miami until, of course, Sunday afternoon against his ex-mates.
That ball like he was on fire.
Right. But and the bad thing about it is that the Patriots missed not one but two golden opportunities. They had no control over Kansas City coming back against Baltimore at the same time they were giving up that ridiculous play to Miami. But with Kansas City losing again in highly improbable fashion on Thursday, Patriots right now could have been sitting in the catbird seat. Number one, home field advantage throughout the AFC. And I think we all know at this point, given what they've done on the road, maybe that will change tomorrow. I really believe the best way, and maybe the only way, the Patriots are getting back to another Super Bowl, they have to have that championship game in Foxborough. I just can't see them winning
they don't play
on the
that
road.
Well on the road.
They don't travel this year. So
Gostkowski missed an extra point
and a field goal.
That didn't help any.
I guess not, since they lost by a point.
Yeah, Brady let time run out in the first half. That
improbably
was so strange
for
him to allow that to happen.
And he really didn't, as well as he looked and as sharp as he was in the first half, the play did tail off in the second. And they let Miami back in that game. Yeah. And once again,
well, what started happening is it was like a ping-pong match.
Right.
Every time the Patriots could score, Miami would go right down the field, five plays or less, and score.
Right.
Then the Patriots would score. Then they'd score. Patriots don't even have a guy listed in the sack. You know how they have a list of the tops?
No pressure at all.
They don't even I know Belichick said they don't really matter that much. Well, they matter to me. They matter to me.
Well,
if you can get to a quarterback.
Right. You wouldn't think, however, that it would be absolutely necessary, it wouldn't be imperative to rush Ryan Tannehill, certainly in the backside of any list of great quarterbacks. And you're always
plus he had the bad ankle.
Right, bad ankle. And you're always into the where they rank as far as offense and defense. The Miami offense, Larry, going into yesterday's or last Sunday's game, 29th in the National Football League. How you give up 33 points to the 29th ranked offense in the National Football League. I know Miami has been a house of horrors. It has been a bleep show every time you go down there, it seems. Brady's now 7-10, 1-5 in the last. It's absolutely ridiculous.
This game.
You want to move on.
We have to. But this game was so stupid, you can't even get into.
You can't break
Miami
it down
and
analyze
the weather
and
all.
Right. Right.
It all had to do with stupidity. There's no other way of putting it.
And the other controversy, and I'm sure you've been listening to it all week on this radio station, and this is a pretty, and I've heard it on some of the national shows as well, and everybody's ripping on Belichick for putting Gronk out there. A lot of people question whether or not they should have kicked the field goal with whatever it was. Was it like 10, 15 seconds left on that fourth down? Just run the ball into the line. Okay, and then on the change of possession, Miami's now got to go 98 yards in 10 seconds instead of 69 yards in 7 seconds. Did you think about that at all?
I did, but I mean, how secure did you feel when there was about 17 seconds left in the game?
Very
and
secure.
Miami gets the. I felt very secure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the play
plays do you see like that actually work?
Yeah, and so I guess for those who felt that perhaps they should have gone on fourth down, if they got the touchdown, fine. If not, then Miami down two has to go really the full length of the football field. I guess the conventional wisdom there is you'd rather be up by five and make them score a touchdown to beat you than up by two, where a field goal, even from the 2 yard line, would maybe be a little bit more possible. I guess that would be the only defense there. So I know a lot of, by this point, hey, it's 5 days later. It will go down if the Patriots do not win the Super Bowl this year as one of the most, if maybe the most ignominious plays in Patriot lore. Maybe it has to go to the top of the list. I'm trying to think certainly of the Belichick Brady era.
That was one of the worst.
That has to be the
worst that you could imagine.
Right.
Now they move on to Pittsburgh. I guess the Steelers have just collapsed in terms of games at Patriots. They've lost their last five games at Heinz Field to the Patriots. Connor might not play. They're running back.
He's questionable. Yep.
Yeah.
And
I love Brown, the wide receiver.
But, you know, he's had a lot of problems. He's had a lot of issues with Roethlisberger this year, feels he's not getting targeted as much. They got that great kid on the other side, Schuster Smith, terrific wide receiver. And we say this every year. On paper, the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you look at the team on paper, offense and defense, the Steelers, particularly at home, they always seem to play the Patriots in the regular season at Heinz Field. Should be winning these games on paper.
They're eighth in total defense.
Right. It's a good balance
team.
So,
I mean, I don't
right.
on, I really, on paper, and the Patriots are 22nd, of
right.
course. I think you look at the team, and you look at the, I like the Patriots offense right now. I like that with Josh Gordon out there, and Edelman out there, and Gronk out there. They got a nice balanced offense. I still don't like trying to run the ball as often as they do. I just don't think their running attack is that good.
No, Michelle has been, a mild disappointment.
Yeah, I don't think he sucks and blows.
But he's a first-round pick. That's the problem.
But, I know. I don't think he is. I don't know who I don't know who drafts their players, but they're horrible selections.
Well, their draft record over the last 4 or 5 years certainly has been suspect. To be kind about it, and Sonny Michel is Exhibit A there. Give them credit. You know, a lot of people had given up on Gordon, obviously, first and foremost, the Cleveland Browns, and he found a home here. And, you know, the Patriots, in the Patriot way, there are a lot of wide receivers that come in here and cannot pick up the system. Gordon is a tremendous athlete, and he's a lot brighter than I think a lot of people thought he was, certainly with all the drug issues
the
and everything
The defense
else.
Still drives me crazy,
well,
though.
Well, yeah.
I think Brown in the middle and the like, they can't stop anybody. I haven't seen anything like it in a long time for a Patriots defense to be this porous.
Well, they've always had that bend but don't break mentality.
Well, now they're breaking.
But they have an opportunity, just like last year. If you remember last year, the schedule was very similar, and I don't have it in front of me, but it seems to me, maybe someone can confirm this out there in radio land, that when they lost to Miami last year, I think their next game was Pittsburgh on the road again. And, of course, the great Jesse James controversy. Talk about highway robbery. Jesse James was the victim of highway robbery, at least as far as the old rules concerned.
I still don't know anymore.
Yeah.
I thought I
did. They've resolved it this year.
No, but I mean, I don't know what a catch is anymore. I don't know what pass interference is anymore.
How about the game on Thursday night? You know, Chiefs defense, speaking of bad defenses, pretty sieve-like as well. They, with the six-point lead, make it seven-point lead, on the Chargers, let the Chargers come down the field and score with 4 seconds left, but setting it up was a phantom PI call against the Chiefs. Then on the game, not the game, well, it wasn't the game-winning touchdown. It was the touchdown that got them within 1 point before the two-point conversion. The wide receiver, it wasn't Williams. It was the guy that caught the touchdown to make it 28-27. The wide receiver extended his arms, pushed off, enabling himself to be wide open for that that tying, for all intents and purposes, touchdown. And they called that. They didn't call that either. I have no idea what's going on with the NFL officials. That was a horrible night for both teams as far as the officiating was concerned on Thursday night. But as you were watching that, Larry, I'm sure you were watching the Thursday night game, my first reaction when Chargers came back was good for the Patriots. That's good for the Patriots.
Of course it is. Are you kidding?
Because the Chargers...
Go for two!
No, that and you know what? The Chargers absolutely... Everybody said, what a gutsy call. Chargers had absolutely nothing to lose. Even with winning the game, they're still in second place because the division record is not as good as the Chiefs. So right now, they're still in fifth place as far as the seeding is concerned in the AFC. A tie would have done them absolutely nothing. So I give them all the credit in the world for doing it. But that Chiefs defense, you talk about, you know, worrisome if you're a Chiefs fan. That's not, you don't want to see that at all if you're the Chiefs. Just when you thought you had figured it out, you had stopped Baltimore, in overtime on Sunday to allow two touchdowns in the last, 8 minutes of that game? You're up 28-14, seemingly have the game in the bag, and then two touchdowns at the end. I give the Chargers a lot of credit. Chargers did the same thing against Pittsburgh 2 or 3 weeks ago. Chargers are a legitimate force. They're a contender now. I don't think a lot of people were talking about the Chargers as being one of the teams that could go to the Super Bowl after Thursday. I think they pretty much served notice. They're legit.
Well, Mahomes, he keeps putting up the yardage and touchdowns. I think he's got 40-something touchdowns. He's an unbelievable machine. But what difference does it make if your defense keeps giving up scores?
Yeah, and he was not good in the second half of that game. He got sacked in their last series. They really only had to hold on to the ball just a little bit, and they could have salted that game away. So Chargers, they're a factor now. And so Patriots were thrilled. Patriot fans certainly were thrilled with Kansas City losing. So now you're still only one game back as far as the top seed in the AFC is concerned. Instead of it would have remained at 2, it would have actually gone up to 2.5. And really that pretty much would have locked it for Kansas City. So if you're a Pats fan, you got to run the table. You can't lose against Pittsburgh. I mean, it would be absolutely, completely and utterly humiliating if you fell to both the Jets or either one of the Jets or Bills in those final two home games. And you got to hope that the Chiefs split, lose in Seattle, and then the Chargers split too. Because if that happens, if both teams, Kansas City and the Chargers, split and the Pats run the table, which they have, you know, there's every reason to believe they can, then they get the top seed again, and then they have the route through Foxborough on the way to the Super Bowl.
This has been a strange season. You look at Philadelphia, they lose their starting quarterback. Washington loses their starting quarterback. Interesting season and how it has developed.
But it's also a great it's a great comeback season for the NFL. I mean, you talk about as much as it hurt here, that Miami play pretty much typified the scintillating, just unbelievable action we've seen all season long in the NFL. Great matchups, even on the Thursday night games. That Thursday night game was one for the ages as well. Have you had some great games in the NFL?
Oh, I'm sure the national market thought the Patriots game was hysterical.
Oh, they did, as a matter of fact.
I did. I would have.
The national, listen, everybody outside of New England hates the Patriots. And there was an article, I'm trying to remember where it was. I think it was USA Today. How, you know, our favorite word, Larry, schadenfreude, was pervasive.
I would have laughed hysterically if I had been, you know, anti-Patriots.
I'm sure that Patriot fans in this area, probably listening right now, might have gotten some texts from some of their friends who are not Patriot
fans.
That
was just terrible. Yeah.
I know I have a friend who's a big Giant fan down in Connecticut, and he was enjoying Patriots fans' misery in true schadenfreude fashion last Sunday. So, hey, they hate us because they can't beat us, right? Patriots are still, as far as I'm concerned, you know, with Kansas City barely hanging on against Baltimore, having to win that game in overtime at home, and then losing to the Chargers after blowing a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. There's no reason to believe that the Patriots aren't, you know, still one of the teams, if not still the team. Until someone beats them, I know it's going to be a lot harder to do it on the road, maybe impossible, but I still think what you saw on Thursday night should give the Patriots and their Patriot fans a lot of hope. There is no dominant force. Kansas City is not unbeatable, as we saw. Certainly the Chargers, if they're going to win, and if they're coming out of the fifth seed as the wild card, they'd have to do it all on the road. I'll still take my money and put my money on the Patriots. Anybody calling, Larry, that we should know about?
Nobody important.
Okay, all right. So do you want to just take a break and get that call?
No, it was just Tom Brady.
Oh, it's just Brady? Okay, great.
Calling in. The other thing, as we said, we're on for 2 hours today, 617-779-7937. A lot of other subjects, too, that we will touch upon because we're only on for 2 hours. So if you have an opinion on the Red Sox situation, they've lost a couple of players, Kelly and Kinsler, and also one of their broadcasters. They lost. That came as a complete surprise to me. So that
Larry, you know there's a little button on the phone that you can just turn off your phone so it doesn't interrupt the program.
I try to do that with you.
It's one of these newfangled features they put on the phone.
The other thing is, if you watched the Celtics game last night, geez, that kid Robert Williams had 5 blocked shots last night, played like about 18 minutes. I like stories like that outside of the norm.
Yeah, the Patriots, obviously the big thing, but with the Celtics now winning 8 in a row. You told me last week you don't pay any attention to basketball.
Well, no, I watch it, but I'm not forming any real opinions on it yet.
Well, they were 10-10, and they were struggling, and there was a lot of people looking ahead to the schedule. It's a cream puff schedule over the last couple weeks. They've taken care of business against a lot of bad teams, but the impressive thing about it is they've been winning these games by about an average of 25 points. Last night's game was 129-108 in a game that wasn't nearly as close as the score indicated. At one point, Larry, in the game, you were probably watching it.
Yes.
They gave up 19 straight Hawks points, and they still won by 21.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
No, I like that Chicago Bulls game the other night. Oh, gosh.
I mean, what, they win by like 40 or something?
Yeah,
absolutely
ridiculous.
So they're taking care of business. They're starting to figure out the rotations. Everything's kind of coming together, so all that panic and all that sound and fury and hue and cry.
Your Bruins lost a tough one.
Larry, if you noticed, I'm just a little bit dejected today. I'm trying to overcome that big Bruins loss to the Penguins last night down in Pittsburgh. So 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It looked pretty bleak on Sunday. Maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel after KC losing on Thursday. We're looking ahead to the Pittsburgh game tomorrow at 425. You know our telephone number. We'll be back right after this. Mustard and Johnson till 11 right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI and WEEI.com.
Gronkowski standing at about the 15-yard line.
He couldn't tackle anybody.
I don't know why he's back there.
I know why. They throw it up in the air. He knocked
it
down.
That's exactly why. Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's
Greg! 30, 20, Gronkowski's got a tackle! Oh, no way!
Unbelievable!
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable!
I don't. Team success on the road, is that sort of an indication to you about what kind of team you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different team this year, and you know, we've tried put a lot into it, and we're trying to obviously do great in both, and just hasn't turned out that way, but we're hanging in there.
Tom Brady, after the improbable loss, although, as we pointed out, Bob Greasy, very astute with that Miami.
Yeah, what is Gronk doing out there?
What is he doing? He can't tackle anybody. Well, apparently, Bob Greasy, if you were really interested in helping the Patriots, you would have maybe made a signal to Belichick, hey, he can't tackle. Apparently, Bill thought that somehow or another, Tannehill was going to throw the ball up in the air to the 15-yard line from the 31.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get any of it. We got to move on, and I'm ready to move on.
Yeah.
But by far, it was one of the dumbest plays I have ever seen in the history of watching football.
You know, and he's had some of these proverbial brain farts over the years. I'm talking about Belichick. He's done some things that...
But what do you have assistant coaches for? Nobody can say to you...
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You can't be considered the greatest coach in the history of the game and then say, well, he should have had an assistant coach who advised him not to do it. You can't have it both ways.
Why not? You could have a guy run up to you and say, yay, you got the wrong guy out there.
If he's the greatest coach in the history of the National Football League, better than Parcells, better than Walsh, better than Gibbs, better, oh, Saints preserve us... I can't believe I'm saying this, better than Lombardi, better than Paul Brown. You can't rely on some assistant coach. I mean, you're the greatest coach in the history of the game.
We keep laughing about Rex Ryan and stuff, but I'm just telling you, I've just never seen such a stupid play in my life.
Let's put it this way. If Rex Ryan or Mike Tomlin, the whipping boys of coaches here in New England, you would never hear the end of it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Mike Tomlin did that? Forget about it. It'd be all over. Mike Tomlin would be considered a complete and utter dunce.
Which I like Belichick's response. Well, nobody died.
Is that the best you can do, Bill?
Yeah.
Nobody died.
Right. Now, you know, obviously, you still had to go out there and make a couple of tackles. And there were plenty of opportunities to make a tackle on that play. And by the way, the play-by-play guy for the Miami station, he's barely even calling it. Yeah.
Because it's such an obvious kill play.
Right. Yeah.
The Patriots looked like they had quite a few people. The ones that you could see, nobody was killing themselves, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they were really playing for position more than just going over. Someone's got to go over and just make the tackle. But we are moving on. We're not going to
wallow
in the past. We're not going to wallow in the past. And here to bring us into the cheery and optimistic future, as always, is our buddy from Framingham, Andy. What's going on, Andy?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Andy, how are you?
How
are you doing?
I'm well, guys. Hope you are.
Listen, are you going to apply for that play-by-play job?
I'm holding out for Evoldi money.
Huh?
I'm holding out for Nathan Evoldi.
No, seriously, you should throw your hat in the ring.
I have many hats in the ring. Thank you for saying that. Hey, before I go to the Red Sox, I'm moving on to Pittsburgh, if we may, which is a train wreck in itself. The Patriots can win this game, but going back about this Miami game, Larry, I don't understand. I understand the number two quarterback for Miami is the guy with the gun. I mean, he can throw the ball like Bledsoe.
Osweiler, yeah.
Right. And if he'd been in there, I can see maybe they were going to that prevent-type defense. But not with Tannehill. It was an odd game, an odd ending.
Bad ankle and all.
To say the least.
That might be the biggest understatement in the history of the National Football League, and you said it was an odd ending.
Hey, the Steelers, they can beat the Steelers. I mean, they are not, I don't know what's going on. I think Tomlin, if they don't get in the playoffs, I think he can lose his job.
No, they won't. The Steelers don't fire their coaches.
I know you said that, but, I mean, it's been a while. But, listen, he's one of the guys, if he loses his job, boom, he'll get another one.
You know when the last time the Steelers fired a coach?
I can't recall.
1968.
And who was that?
I don't know who it was, but it was the guy that preceded Chuck Knoll.
Let me say that. Chuck Knoll.
Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher and now Mike Tomlin.
Well,
three coaches in 50 years.
Yeah, that's interesting. But, listen, this team is good enough to get to the playoff. They're missing the running back, Le'Veon Bell, of course. Connors is a little beat up. I think it gives the Patriots an edge. I mean, being so flat against Miami, I think they'll come back strong.
And they did it last year. No, unless we all know that the place they least like to play is Miami.
Right.
And the place they most like to play, at least among contending teams, is Pittsburgh.
I don't know what defense is going to show up, but I think they have a very good chance.
Defense is terrible.
And,
is.
You know, and obviously Pittsburgh was in the driver's seat, it seemed, when they were 7-2-1. They've lost three games in hideous fashion.
There's something going on with that team. I'm not certain what it is, but something is amiss.
Now, I'm trying to figure out, and Andy, you always have a pretty good macro perspective on everything. Are the Chargers a legitimate force as far as you're concerned?
They're the real deal,
yeah.
I think. And you mentioned that they may have problems playing in the road. Technically, they don't have a home. They've been on the road for the whole season.
Yeah, I don't know that you can have a home field advantage in an arena that's, what, 30,000?
30,000.
It's a soccer field, for crying out loud.
Yeah. What are your Red Sox thoughts?
Hey, I did quickly. I said that Kelly, I would like for him to stay. I mean, listen, he was
gone, baby, gone.
Pardon me?
Gone, baby, gone.
Gone, baby, gone.
Good movie, by the way.
He got $25 million for 3 years. I mean,
it's up there with you.
It's up. I would have liked to see him keep him. I give the credit to Dana Lavangi and his coaching staff on from the pitching end, because he's turned around. Think about this. He's turned around Kelly, he turned around Price, and he turned around Evoldi.
Yeah, I think that's a very wise and astute point you're making there. I sound like Ted Sarandis. Very astute point,
Chief.
You
know what it is, Andy? We're somewhat teased because all these guys kind of turned it around for the playoffs.
Right.
So you don't know what you would have gotten.
True. It's a box of Cracker Jack. I don't know what he's going to do in L.A. He's going home. That's not always good, meaning Kelly.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously they're very seduced by what they saw with Kelly, what, 6 shutout innings, 10 strikeouts against the Dodgers in the World Series. But he saved it for when it counted the most, and I don't think anybody believed, thanks for the call, Andy,
Thanks, Andy.
Kelly had that in him. They certainly knew that he had the 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Do you want the closer back?
Kimbrel, no. No. And you certainly don't.
I don't. No.
I think you can find a closer. I think, you know, the Patriots. Why do we keep on saying the Patriots? The Red Sox have won four World Series with four different closers in the 21st century. If they continue to win World Series, they'll probably have other closers. As you know, there's some great closers in the history of the game. Eck, obviously, the guy that pretty much invented it along with Tony La Russa, Rivera. But you know what? You can find another closer. I don't think that's the
two
the
names
big issue.
You hear, Oscar Ovina and David Robinson. I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do?
David
Robinson.
Want
them to trade, I don't want them to trade Jackie Bradley. I think you have a set position in the outfield.
Listen, Larry,
three of them are all set.
Right. You don't want Jack. You're like Tommy Heinsohn when they trade these Celtic players and you threaten that you'll never
watch the
Celtics again.
I don't want Martinez out there playing full time. No, I don't.
All right. You just love Jackie Bradley. John Romaldin probably doesn't love Jackie Bradley, but he's next on Sports Radio. Where you been lately, man?
Working. What can I tell
what?
You?
What? Wait a minute. Now, come on, John. I can believe a few things, but working on Saturday?
You know. They need help sawing the bars, you know what I mean? So.
Maybe there's a license plate deficiency
That's
that you
right.
need to compensate for.
Hey, say hi to Joey when you see him again.
Yeah. But, you know, take a page out of Aaron Rodgers' book. You know, just relax, everybody, okay? The Patriots are going to be just fine. This season reminds me of last year's baseball season when we said all the playoff teams had a chance. I think all the teams this year, the Patriots are down. There's no doubt about it, but so is the league, really. Kansas City's nothing to worry about, okay? They have a bad defense, bad. Houston, they can't win in Foxborough. The Chargers, they play well on the road, but other than gunslinging, I don't think they do much else.
Yeah, I don't know if you can be behind against another contender like they were against Pittsburgh a few weeks ago in KC on Thursday and win another game on the road. And, you know, the national media after that game on Thursday is lionizing Phillip Rivers. Now he's the MVP. He's the
right.
It was Mahomes.
He's always been good.
Yeah, he's always been good. And, he was drafted the same year as Eli and Big Ben. And now, because he doesn't have any Super Bowl appearances and lackluster playoff career, now what they're saying, this is going to be the year that Phillip Rivers breaks through and finally shows the world how great a quarterback he is. You got to show me. Do it in the playoffs. You're going to have to do it on the road, most likely.
I got the NFL Network on. I didn't realize this. They just showed a stat that Pittsburgh is 3-11 against the Patriots since like 2002.
Oh yeah,
3-11.
Yeah.
So I mean, and Pittsburgh's had better teams than they have now, and everybody's worried that Pittsburgh. Oh, they're a wounded animal right now. No, this is the best time to catch them. They're falling apart.
Yeah, and last year they lost to Miami, then played Pittsburgh the next game and won that game. They had a little help from that possession call against Jesse James, but they have every opportunity to do it. And what you're looking for the rest of the way is both KC and the Chargers to split their last two games, if that's possible. Patriots run the table, they can get that top seed again.
Well, like you said, if the Patriots win tomorrow, they could run the table.
Well, they will win. They're going to win. If they win tomorrow, they're going to run the table. How are they going to lose to the Bills and the Jets at home?
Right. So.
Right.
Let's not worry about what the other teams do. Take care of our own.
No, but you need to worry about that, because if either one of those teams wins their last two games, KC or the Chargers, then the Patriots are going to be the second or third seed.
Okay, yeah. I understand that.
Right.
But even if they are, Craig, how many road games are they going to play? One?
They'd have to play one.
Okay, one. Yeah. They can win one road game this year in this postseason.
But the problem is, if you want to use numbers, and you use them against the Steelers, 3-11 in the 21st century, the problem with the Patriots, they haven't won a game on the road in the playoffs since that San Diego win way back in, 2006, 2007, the next game they blew the 21-3 lead to the Colts. Remember that San Diego game?
Okay.
Where Diego threw the improbable interception. Was it an interception? No, it was a fumble off an interception. Remember San Diego had the game salted away on an interception, and the kid fumbled, and Troy Brown recovered. Patriots won that game when San Diego should have won. Other than that, they've lost every other game on the road since 2006. Come on,
okay.
John.
Okay, but look how it would
spit it out,
Craig.
What's that?
If they beat Pittsburgh and they run the table like you say, right?
they'll have a bye, correct?
They'll get the bye. They'll be the second seed, and they'll most likely play the Texans at home, most likely, based on the scenario that's laid out today. And then they then have to go most likely to Kansas City, but they could go to San Diego or L.A., whatever it is. Yeah.
Look how many successive wins you're going to have. You're going to have Pittsburgh. You're going to have two division games. You're going to have a bye. You possibly beat Houston at home. Then you're talking one final game to get to the Super Bowl. By then, they'll be on a roll. They'll be fine-tuning things. You know what I mean?
No, I don't disagree. Like I do not. Hey, I do not disagree with you. I think the Patriots are still a major factor.
Absolutely.
As much as I don't have a lot of optimism about winning that game on the road, because they've proven that they can't do it both in the last 15 years or so and this year, they still have at least a shot. That's all I can say.
John, kind of quiet with the Yankees. Nobody's signing anybody down there, huh?
Well, they signed that guy from Seattle, the pitcher, right? Paxton, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, but how about that big rumor that was going around the league earlier in the week, a three-way deal that would land Noah Syndergaard, the Mets, trading to the Yankees, Noah Syndergaard? Did you hear that rumor?
I did not.
Where were you, John? Oh, that was going around. That was going on early part of the week. That was a big rumor.
I'm working too much here.
Yeah, in the GM meetings out in Vegas, that was a big one. But that would be hard to believe that the Mets would allow the Yankees Noah Syndergaard, but that would be a great move for your baseball team, I can tell you that.
Well, listen, I'm very optimistic about the future because the youth and the minor leaguers and the offshore people they can sign and the people they got now. So I'm thinking the future is going to be bright, but we shall see.
Wow, John, you are just full
you still got
of rainbows and lollipops. The Patriots are going to run the table, win the Super Bowl. The Yankees have unlimited potential.
Over here.
What's that?
I said I'm still suffering from the Red Sox. I mean, you know, they beat us again. What's that, four straight playoff games at Yankee Stadium we've lost to the Red Sox?
That is,
you know, the Red Sox have won three straight.
You know, I didn't think about that. Going back to 2004, of course, those last two
games.
Hey,
you still got your two big sluggers in there, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're chasing three divisions in a row. We're chasing the Red Sox here. So we got to get the job done. Like I said, the future looks bright, but we shall see.
Yeah, you picked the wrong century to stop sniffing glue, John. I can tell you that. Wow. If you're a Yankee fan living in Boston, I know it's tough with all these Red Sox World Series victories. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mustard and Johnson till 11 right here on Sports Radio.
Mustard and Johnson are on now. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI at WEEI.com.
I hate to do it, but let's start with the last play as we're trying to figure out what happened. I'm sure you're trying to figure it out. I'm sure you've seen it a lot more today than we've seen it. Can we start with the personnel? Because a lot of people are questioning why Rob Gronkowski was out there and Devin McCourty was on the sideline, because it didn't look like there was a possibility of a Hail Mary from where Tannehill would have been throwing the football. So was that the personnel that you wanted, or was the a mix-up? Did something else happen?
No. That's look, obviously, the play didn't go the way we wanted it to go, so we'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of things that could have been better. We'll coach it better, and we'll play it better going forward. And that's true of a lot of the situational plays in the game yesterday. Both halves just weren't the way we wanted them. So hopefully we can do that better in the next opportunity.
Bill Belichick and company moving on to Pittsburgh after that improbable loss in Miami on Sunday. 617-779-7937.
That's such a half-ass answer. It really is.
I was kind of shocked because Bill's usually so affable when the Patriots lose. Usually, you know, he likes to break it down and go into some minute analysis.
Work out the way we wanted it to. Follow-up question. Well, what were you anticipating? See, you can't.
Is this fake outrage?
I'm not knocking Glenn and them because let's face it, it's easy to sit outside or whatever the studio and listen to these shows and say, well, why don't you ask him this or much, ask him that? When you get the person in the studio and you're trying to cultivate and keep a relationship going because you want to keep this guy coming on during the playoffs and the like. It was just a half-assed, dumb answer.
Would you? So you wouldn't refer to the play, say, as like a pissant play? You wouldn't say that just in case that the person on the other end of the question might
I would have said,
on.
Whoever yeah. made that call yeah. was a pissant.
Yeah.
That's what I would have said.
You would have said that right away.
No, but seriously, though, yeah. it was just, it's, he gives you these answers like you're stupid. And you got Lou and you got Fourier sitting there. And you know you're dying to ask a follow-up question. I mean, if there was ever a play in the history of football that merited a follow-up question, that was it.
But if you're one of those guys, and, you know, Dale and Keith.
Well, it's obvious he doesn't want to talk about it.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, at this point, Larry, I think we pretty much know what we're going to get, and I know that you tend to be outraged
but
when Belichick isn't very forthcoming.
That play deserved a better answer than that, though.
Larry, he's Bill Belichick. He's not going to give you an answer. He's not going to make it easy
for
you.
We got to coach him up. Better. Well, what the hell is that? What does that mean, Bill?
Yeah. See,
wouldn't you like to just ask a follow-up? What does that mean, coach him up better? What does that mean? Whose decision was it to put Gronk out there?
Right. And listen, the buck stops at the head coach. You can't say he's the greatest head coach in the history of the game and then give him some sort of an excuse or alibi by, well, maybe an assistant coach should have suggested something else. He's Bill Belichick. The almighty Bill Belichick made a very head-scratching, foolish
response.
In
all your years of watching football, though, wasn't that one of the dumbest plays you've ever seen in your life?
Yeah. On the other hand, and I will say this, and I can't believe I'm actually giving Bill an out here, if anybody, there were 11 players on the 10 other players other than Gronk.
Well, how many were playing, though? I know there were 11 on the field.
Right. But what were they actually, were they just holding their position? So, you know, so you'd head off the possible
in case
lateral.
The ball went around the other way, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But you had plenty of guys. It wasn't like it was some special teams breakdown. That was a defensive scheme with Gronk back there.
How can you lose a game when you have two block kicks? Can you tell me that? Two block punts and you lose the game.
Well, they're going
I
to
know
be.
You suck up to Belichick. But
oh yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that was disgusting.
No, but you would not. I mean, everybody was listening on Monday.
But I don't
I'm
know
sure.
why. I don't know what you can ask him because the guy gets irritated, and you can't ask him anything.
Yeah, and you know, at this point, we Bill is to paraphrase one of his great lines. Bill is who he is, and that's it. And I give I have nothing but sympathy, empathy. For your guy Ordway and Lou and Fourier for having to sit down and talk to Belichick, even in the best of times. Once in a while, he can be gregarious. When the Patriots,
I think he said it during the interview. Yeah. He says, "Well, it's time to move on to Pittsburgh." He didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
and the worst plays in team history. You put that up there on your Hall of Fame board.
That was horrible.
Right, and again, as we said, if Mike Tomlin did that,
oh.
There would be an outcry from coast to coast.
If anybody did that, if any of the coaches out there did that, we'd be ripping them.
Yeah, he has not been without some
I think you can lose the genius tag, I'll tell you that.
But, you know, he's done this in the past. I mean,
Craig, not like this.
No, I mean, obviously that was beyond improbable, and no one expected that. But he's made some decisions. In years they did not win a Super Bowl, that you look back, for instance, remember that year they lost to Denver and they went into Miami, lost the game, and remember they were just running the ball in the first half, making no real effort.
He was just not interested in winning that game.
Right,
it was obvious.
Right, and then earlier in the year, they were up big on the Eagles, and the Eagles weren't even a good team.
The coin flip with the Jets.
Was it a drop kick? It was a drop kick on a kickoff that didn't work.
The squib kick.
Yeah, not a strong Eagles team came back and won in Foxborough. There were some strange decisions made by Belichick that
year. But you can't ask him anything.
Right.
He won't answer you.
What a surprise. Let's go back to the phones at 617-779-7937. Mike in Framingham is next on Sports
Radio.
Hey,
Mike. Hey, how you doing? Hey, a couple things. First off, when you said that the Patriots didn't win a road game since 2006, they've been to 4 Super Bowls. They won 2. They don't usually play on the road. So that's kind of a weird stat that you use.
Well, no, I'm just saying that it's difficult if you look at it historically. So in 2006, 2007, it happened in January 2007, the AFC Championship game was in Indy. They blew that 21-3 lead, okay? And then the next time they were on the road, again against Peyton, this time it's in Denver, they lost that game as well. And they lost two games in Denver in the last 5 years in AFC Championship games. So when they have to go on the road, you're absolutely right, they usually get at least one game in Foxborough. But in the last three road playoff games after San Diego and the Troy Brown recovery off the interception, they've lost three straight AFC Championship games were on the road. So if that trend continues this year, you'd expect they won't go to the Super Bowl.
And the other thing, too, is when people say we should have went for it on fourth down that last game, we were only up by two. So now, suppose they do some fluke play, and now they're in field goal range, which is a lot easier than going for a touchdown.
Right.
People didn't think that through.
Yeah, I think, listen, everybody thought the game was over. Whatever they decided to do, either running on fourth down and giving the Dolphins the ball on the two-yard line or kicking off after the field goal, no one believed that what we saw happen was going to happen. So it's an interesting debate, but I think it wasn't a terrible decision on that score. The terrible decision, obviously, Mike, was putting Gronk back there.
Well, there's one other thing, too, is the offensive lineman that made that block on Chung, I want to know where he was when that pass was thrown, because I don't know how he got down so far without him being called for a illegal man downfield.
The first pass was about a 10-yard pass, something like that. Just trying to remember where that first pass was, about 10 yards or so. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Awful.
Big Al in Georgia, you're next on Sports Radio.
Al!
WEI. What's going on, Al?
Good morning, fellas. How are you? Happy holidays.
Thank you. How are you?
Very, very good. Thanks. Hey, just for the record, I think the last coach that got fired in Pittsburgh was a guy by the name of Bill Austin.
Bill Austin, the immortal Bill Austin.
Yeah, he got fired there. And then, ironically, the next year, 69, Chuck Knoll started in Pittsburgh. It was also the 1 year that Vince Lombardi coached in Washington.
Yeah, yes. The Redskins, yep.
Got him to 8-6, but then, of course, he passed away. And the guy that replaced him in Washington, if I'm not mistaken, was Bill Austin. Bill Austin also.
Did not know that. And people forget, especially the kids these days, Pittsburgh was the dregs of the National Football League until Chuck Knoll came. They didn't become the franchise that we know as the six-time Super Bowl winning Steelers until Knoll got there. In his first year, he's 1-13.
Yep. So anyway, do your Googling or whatever, but I think that's how that worked out.
Okay.
As far as last weekend goes, if you can, you know, somehow overlook this play Sunday, which is impossible, I know.
Yeah, that's like overlooking the Ford Theater with Lincoln.
Yeah. Other than that, Mrs.
Right.
Lincoln, how was the play? Thank
how
you.
How was the play? Yeah. There you go. Did you like the last act?
Yeah, the popcorn was a little stale.
But really, you look at it, other than Kansas City did come back Sunday, but they lost Thursday. Houston lost last Sunday. Pittsburgh lost last
It wasn't
Sunday.
As cataclysmic as it could have been.
No. Right. And I really think it's possible for Houston to go into to New York today, later on today, and lay an egg there. They might get beat by the Jets of all people.
Yeah,
I doubt that.
Yeah, well, Darnold had a very good game last week, and he's back and healthy, so there is a possibility there. It could work out for the Patriots that they end up at least with a second seed, and it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could actually capture the top seed if they run the table and both Kansas City and San Diego split their last two games.
Well, we've got to
see. Pittsburgh.
Here's the thing about tomorrow, too, fellas. The Dolphins are playing at 1 o'clock in Minnesota. Now, they could easily lose that game. And I know everybody says, oh, we don't scoreboard watch. Well, of course they do. They would have to. I know they can't say it, but they would have to scoreboard. If the Dolphins get beat in Minnesota at 1 o'clock, we don't kick off until 4:25.
Yeah.
That makes that game into a hat and T-shirt game. For us at 4:25, I think that gives us
I think you're looking at it too much from a division standpoint, where what matters is the conference, and you want to stay viable. Who cares about the division? You can win the division
We got to win the division first.
No, but they're going to get in they're going to win the division.
Win the division in September.
That's an inevitability. So they don't care about the division. The Belichick says that, and you got to take care of business and win the division. Yeah, I understand that. But you could win the division and still be the fourth seed. So that doesn't mean anything. It's the conference that matters. And you got your only hope, I think, because I just don't see them winning an AFC championship game on the road. They got to get one of those teams, at least two of those. Both teams have to split, Kansas City and the Chargers, and they have to run the table to get the top seed. Otherwise, most likely a second seed, Texans in the first round after the bye,
right.
And then on the road,
right.
Either Kansas City or San Diego.
Well, Kansas City is in Seattle next week, and that's a losable.
Oh, yeah, that's very losable. So there's the split right there. What the Chargers have, they have Baltimore at home, and Baltimore's a tough team. They're a very
right.
good team, great defense. And then Denver on the road, that's a possible losable game, too. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. Could happen.
Hey, all what's right. the matter with your Falcons?
His Falcons, he doesn't care about the Falcons.
I don't care about the Falcons.
Yeah, he just
really
happens to live in Georgia. He's from Massachusetts.
That's it. That's
all right.
It. Have a great day, fellas.
Hey, you too.
Take it easy, Al. 617-779.
Matty Ryan.
793-7. One down, one more to go. It's James and maybe even Dickerson right here on Sports Radio.